3.5 years without any rain. We know what it's like to have one bad year. In fact, all we have to do is think back a couple years ago, that summer that we had barely any rain, when there was no hay, no crop, and barely any income. There were some at that time who had to import hay to be able to feed their cattle in the coming winter. There were many who sold their cattle, or some of their cattle, so that they would be able to support the rest. And there was even some who were practically on the verge of having to give it up entirely. We know what it's like to suffer through a drought. But to have 3 equally bad years in a row, 3 failed harvests, 3 years of cattle perishing, 3 years of barely enough food to feed everyone. What would we do in a situation like that? Where would we turn? Well, of course, it's easy for us to say, well, we would turn to God. We would look to the Lord for help to bring us through this time. But do we believe that? Or do we only say it because we know it's the thing that we should say? Because it's easy enough for us Christians to say that we trust in God when everything is going well. But how often do we still look for something else to give us certainty, to hedge our bets, to make sure that everything is going to work out in the end? God will help us, we say, but we better make sure that the insurance is up to date. God will provide for us, but I don't have any time to pray. I have too much to do. I would fall too far behind. God will bring us through this, but I'll only go to church when I have nothing else to do. The Bible calls this being double-minded, wanting to go 2 different ways at once. Jesus calls it trying to serve 2 masters, which is an impossible thing to do, because either you will love the one and hate the other, or you'll be devoted to one and you will despise the other. You cannot serve 2 masters at once. And being double-minded is always a danger for us, especially in this age of convenience. But Israel in our Old Testament reading for today was especially double-minded. They were coming towards the end of a 3.5-year drought, although they didn't know that it was going to end. We have to find a way through, they said. We need to find a way to fix this. If we have one more year of this, we will surely all perish. And so God will help us eventually. But in the meantime, we need to find something else. Something else to help us. Something else to give us the rain that we need. And they didn't realize that it was this very attitude that had caused God to send the drought in the first place. But that something else that they looked to was Baal Hadad, the Canaanite god whom they believed was a storm god, a god who was in control of the rains, a god who was in control of the harvest. And the Canaanites believed that if they served him, if they worshipped him in all of their disgusting ways, then Baal would give them what they wanted. They could receive the rain and have a good harvest. And if the Lord was not going to help them, well, then maybe Baal would. But if Baal didn't help them, then maybe the Lord would. They were completely double-minded, trying to serve 2 masters at the same time. But how had they fallen into this position? What made them this way? They had forgotten who they were in God. They had forgotten what God had done for them. God had brought them out of Egypt. God had led them through the wilderness. God had placed them into the promised land. God had called for them to be his holy people. And God had even promised every good thing to those who trusted him. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, we hear, "The Lord will open to you his good treasury, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hands." He had promised them even a blessing of rain. But he didn't do this because of their goodness. Far from it. He did it because of his faithfulness. He remembered the promises that he had made to their fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And he gave them all of these blessings purely by his grace. But Israel had forgotten. They had forgotten that they belonged to him. And for that reason, they looked somewhere else for help rather than to God. And Christians, God has done far more for us than he ever did for the saints of the Old Testament. God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. God has brought us, we who were far off and didn't know the Lord, into his holy church. God made us his own through the death and the resurrection of his Son. God has given us the Holy Spirit. God has made us his temple. We are the living home of God himself here on earth. Could God do all of that for us and then look at our problems and say, "Nah, that's too much. It's too much to help you. Too much to give rain to those who ask him. It's too much to help you through all of life's troubles, to even help you through life's inconveniences. You're on your own. Figure it out. I don't want anything to do with it." Well, of course not. God would never say that. Then why are we so often tempted to think that he will? Why are we so often tempted to not pray, to not come to the Lord and call on him in the midst of our troubles? Why are we so prone to be double-minded when we have seen all of the goodness of God? Elijah comes to Mount Carmel, and he says to the people in verse 21, "How long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." Give up your double-mindedness, he says. Stop trying to limp in two different directions. Seek after the God who can actually help you. Turn away from your idols. Your idols can't help. They were never able to help you. You only look to them because you have forgotten what God has done for you. And let's prove it, he says. Let's have a contest. Set up a sacrifice, do everything that you need to do, but don't put any fire on it. And I will do the same. And then, as he says in verse 24, "You call upon the name of your God, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God." And the people agree to this. And the 450 prophets of Baal go first. And Christians, what a sight it must have been to see them on Mount Carmel that day. 450 men, all crying out to the heavens, all calling, "Baal, help us. Baal, answer us. Baal, answer us by fire." And 1 hour of shouting turned into two. 2 hours of shouting turned into four. And by midday, they still had no answer. And Elijah mocked them and said, "Shout louder. Maybe he can't hear you. Maybe the problem is you're not being loud enough. Try, for he is a God. He will answer you, won't he?" And so they shouted until they were hoarse. They cut themselves so that they were shedding their own blood as a sacrifice to their false god. And they were limping around their altar in a dance, all trying to get Baal's attention. But it didn't work. By the time the evening came, there was still no answer. No one paid attention. No one was listening. Their God had failed. But these things helped us in the past, we might say. They helped us get through things before. Maybe they'll help us now. But did they really help us, Christian? Was it not, in fact, the Lord? Because do we really believe that money helped us through our troubles? And yet God is the one who gives us money. Proverbs chapter 10 says, "The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it." Do we think that it is our work and our busyness and our inability to sit still that brought us through these things? And yet it was the Lord who blessed our work. As Psalm 127 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor build it in vain." Idols cannot help us. They never could help us. It is the Lord who brought us through. And even when you forgot him, he never forgot you. And there is no doubt that God can help us through all things. And this is what Elijah wanted to show them on that day. He went to the neglected altar of the Lord, the neglected and broken altar that the people had forgotten about. And he took 12 stones and set them up in order, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel, because that was their name, Israel. God had given that name to their father Jacob as he limped away from Peniel so long ago. And he dug a trench around the altar, and he set the wood in order, and he prepared the bull and set it on top. And then he commanded the entire thing to be drenched with water 12 times. Again, a picture of Israel. Because water in the Old Testament was used as a way of cleansing God's people, of making them clean in the sight of God. Like the priests who would wash before they went into the tabernacle to serve the Lord, or a leper who would be washed before he could come into the camp again. Israel would be washed clean of all of their sins and all of their guilt on that day. And then, at the time of the evening sacrifice, Elijah prayed. He said, "Come, O Lord. Let them know that you are God. Let them know that there is a God in Israel. Let them know that you are the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Israel. Let them see that you have made them to be your people, and turn their hearts, O Lord, back to you again." And God answered Elijah with fire. A fire so great that it burned up everything, the stones and the water included. And the people cried out to the and said, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." There was no doubt. God is God, and there is no one else. Idols cannot help us. And Elijah purged out the evil from the land, washing it away in the waters of the brook Kishon. And Christians, we don't have a need for fire to come down from heaven. We have something even greater. He who died is now living again. He who suffered on our behalf now reigns as king over all things. Jesus is the proof that the Lord, he is God. Jesus is the proof that God is, in fact, with us. And what is an idol compared to the living Christ? We know that God can and that God will help us because of Jesus Christ, his Son. As Paul says in Romans 8, he who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? This same Jesus rose on the third day, ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, where he now prays constantly on our behalf as our high priest. He is always concerned for our good and for our welfare. Why then should we be double-minded, Christians? Let us be single-minded in our devotion to the Lord, because God has made us his own people through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, his Son. Let us pray. Lord God, the Almighty, who alone is the true and living God, purify our hearts and turn us toward yourself in all things, knowing that nothing will separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.